Greetings, saints. Many blessings to you. Thank you for joining us today for the Unleavened Bread Bible Study. Father, we thank you so much for drawing us together to study your precious word so we can be wise in the days to come. There is so much hidden from so many in these days, mostly because people don't love the word enough to really dig in. Find out these things. It's the glory of God to conceal a thing and the glory of kings to seek it out. Father, bless your people to seek it out in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we've been studying the beast mark is here. And what we're just beginning to realize is that there is a mark before the mark. It's called the spiritual mark of the beast. And it is in the mind and in the hand, or in the forehead and in the hand. The mind of the flesh and the works of the flesh. The mark of the beast merely marks the people who are members of the body of the beast. Amen. In my studies in the Word, I didn't look into what was being revealed about the physical mark for many years. Because I learned that it would only identify the ones who had the real offense to God, the mark of the beast in their very nature. And those who do not repent of the spiritual mark will receive the physical mark. And for that reason, I'd like to study that which is most important, which is the spiritual mark. If you have the spiritual mark of God, you don't have to worry about the physical mark of the beast. In part one, we clearly saw that the beast is a body of people on the earth, like the dragon and the beast of Revelation. Revelation 12, the dragon. Revelation 13, the beast. They both have seven heads and ten horns, which incorporates all of lost mankind. And it doesn't matter whether you claim Christianity or not. There are many who claim Christianity, but they have the mark of the beast. And that's why it's so important that we study this. Those who have the Spirit of Christ are his body, and all who have the Spirit of Antichrist are his body. This is what we discovered in part one very clearly. And all who do not receive the Spirit of Christ will receive the mark. Revelation 13, we'll start in verse 16. And he causeth all, the small and the great, the rich and the poor, the free and the bond, that there be given them a mark on their right hand or upon their forehead, and that no man should be able to buy or sell save he that hath the mark, even the name of the beast or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. He that hath understanding, let him count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man. Haven't we already discovered this? It is the number of a man, not an individual man, but a corporate man, like the book of Revelation commonly uses. The beast is a corporate man, seven heads and ten horns, which is the seven world ruling empires and the ten continental divisions of the world. And his number is 666, right? Count the number of the beast. It's the number of a man. We've been talking about this man. There's only two men in the earth, as Jesus taught. Notice that the mark identifies the beast. It is the number of a corporate man who is without Christ and not in the one body of Christ. You're either in the body of Christ or you're a member of the body of the beast. Let me say there are many people who claim to be in the body of Christ, and because they have this spiritual mark, they're actually members of the body of the beast. That's going to be revealed That's what the physical mark does. The mark on the forehead is also the name of the beast. Name in Greek here means nature, character, and authority. Yes. The body of Antichrist has the nature and character of the beast on their forehead, meaning in their mind. It is the mind of the flesh for which Paul in Romans 8 warned Christians that they would die. Do you understand? Christians with the mind of the flesh will die. Romans 8, 12 through 14. So then, brethren, he's not talking to the lost world here. So then, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. For if you live after the flesh, ye must die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you shall live. So this unconditional garbage that you hear out there is just that, garbage. He is telling Christians, if you walk after the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you shall live. Those who have the Spirit of Christ have this power over the flesh. And those that want to not give the Spirit man any power, well, they do that because they want to continue to sin. 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. Led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. So be filled with the Spirit, just as everyone was back there in the book of Acts. The body of Christ has his nature, character, and authority on their forehead. Revelation 14, we'll start verse 1 here. And I saw, and behold, the Lamb standing on Mount Zion, and with him 144,000, having his name and the name of his Father written on their foreheads. That kind of runs out of room up there sooner or later, unless you understand that this is a spiritual thing, right? Written on their foreheads. In other words, the nature, character, and authority of God is on their foreheads, representing what is underneath, the mind, right? And forehead in these opposing verses symbolizes the mind, in which lies the nature, character, and authority of either Christ or Antichrist. You understand? Verse Romans 8 and 6 says, for the mind of the flesh is death, but the mind of the Spirit is life and peace. Because the mind of the flesh is enmity against God. Enmity is a Greek word that just means enemy. The mind of the flesh is the enemy of God. For it is not subject to the law of God. You understand? The mind of the flesh is not subject to the law of God. Neither indeed can it be. Those who have the mind of the Spirit are the true body of Christ. And those that have the mind of the flesh are enemies of God, even if they believe they are Christians. And they cannot obey him or please him because they are the body of Antichrist. They all must repent now. Repent means change your mind. Believe what I say. Do what I tell you. That's what it means to God. They must repent now while there is still time to renew their minds with the Word. Remember, the mind of the flesh is enmity. That's a Greek word meaning enemy. Against God. Enmity against God. Those who are against the Word are enemies of God and must walk by faith that Jesus gave them his mind to be justified. Do you know that Jesus made reconciliation? He made an exchange of his life for yours. Now you receive that by faith so that it can be manifested. You see, if you don't believe it, it can't be manifested. Every promise is like that. All of the promises are like that. Jesus said, "He that is not with me is against me." That's Matthew 12 and 30. Notice that there are only two bodies of people on this earth. Those who have the nature, character, and authority of a false Jesus are also Antichrist. For anti means against or in the place of. And false prophets replace the true Jesus with their own Jesus. He's a Jesus that doesn't really need you to repent. In Revelation 13, just accept Jesus, in other words. Never mind what the Bible says, repent and believe, right? So in Revelation 13 and 16, the mark of the beast in the right hand or forehead. And in Exodus 13 and 16, notice it's the same verse, is the mark of God in the hand of the forehead. Pretty awesome, huh? God put that there for you. So Exodus 13 and 16, and it shall be for a sign upon thy hand and for frontlets between thine eyes. In other words, on your forehead. So what is this mark? This is more completely described in Deuteronomy, where we see that it is binding the word of God on your hand and your forehead. Hand in the scripture represents your works. Forehead represents your mind. There are two things. The hands are the works of the flesh and the mind of the flesh. If you have the mind of the flesh, you're going to do the works of the flesh. So you have to have your mind renewed by the word of God. And that's the way you are transformed. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That is something that happens to a Christian if they continue to be a Christian. They renew their mind with the word and they're transformed into the image of Christ. So, this is more completely described a little further in Deuteronomy. It says, Deuteronomy 11 and 18, "Therefore shall you lay up these my words in your heart and in your soul, and you shall bind them for a sign upon your hand. And they shall be for frontlets between your eyes." Forehead. Mind. Right? The Jews put scripture in little boxes and tied them on the backs of their hands and on their foreheads. They, of course, were doing this in the letter, but to us it means something, because your hand must be bound by the word of God, your forehead, your mind must be bound by the word of God, right? Hands in scripture always symbolize our works, and this can only symbolize thinking and works that are according to the word. And that is the mark of the Lord. It's just the antithesis of the mark of the beast. Some people say, "Oh, don't worry about it. You can take the mark of the beast, because the mark of the Lord negates the mark of the beast." Well, these people are false prophets, because you can't have them both. You're going to have one or the other, you see. So, and they don't know what the mark of God is. And they teach things that are not in the word. They're false prophets. They're there to test the righteous to see if they'll believe a lie, because they don't love the truth, right? So the mark of the beast is just the opposite. Thinking and works that are according to the flesh. Between the eyes carries more symbolism than just on the forehead. For this is also the base of the nose. And this place represents the mind of the spirit that gives sight and smell according to the word. The nose discerns and it reveals what can neither be seen nor heard. That's kind of like the Spirit of God. He teaches you. He speaks to you. He gives you discernment that you can't see with your eyes or hear. So the nose symbolizes that. 1 Corinthians 2 and 9 says, things which eye saw not and ear heard not, which entered not into the heart of man, whatsoever things God prepared for them that love him. But unto us God revealed them. So he revealed it not through the eyes and the ears, but the nose tells you what the eyes and the ears cannot tell you. And some doctrine stinks, and so do some preachers. So you ought to know that God is telling you, get away from them. They're adding to the Word. They're taking from the Word. The Word is the only thing that can manifest Christ in you. Right? That's what Christian is. So, verse 10, but unto us God revealed them through the Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. Well, the nose represents revelation or discernment of the Spirit. Hebrews 5 and 14, but solid food is for full-grown men, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern good and evil. You know what? You put enough of the solid food of the Word of God in your heart, you will be able to discern truth from error. If you don't do that, you just go to church, trust the preacher. He went and got an education so he could come back and give it to you. You're going to be deceived. Seek out your own salvation with fear and trembling, the Bible says. Get in the Word. As little David picked up the five smooth stones by the washing of the water in the brook and used one to smite Goliath on his forehead. So our senses must be exercised by washing of the water with the Word to put to death the mind of the flesh and know good and evil. Right? The five senses. There are five spiritual senses, right? For the spiritual man. And notice that two sixes in this verse, the third six comes later. In the sixth year, in the sixth month, Ezekiel 8 and 1. Where's the third six? Well, read on, right? Ezekiel had a vision in which he saw God's apostate people in the temple of the Lord worshiping the false son of God from Babel, Tammuz. And it's still true today. And his false father, Baal. And it's still true today. A lot of Christians are worshiping these two. So, Ezekiel 8 and 14 says, then he brought me to the door of the gate of the Lord's house, and behold, there sat women weeping for Tammuz. What is that doing there, right? 15. Thou shalt again see yet greater abominations than these. This is an abomination that people have made of Jesus after their own liking, and his father is like him. And they're both an abomination because they're not the true Jesus and the true Father. And 16, and they were worshiping the sun, that's Baal, the sun god, the sun, not the son of God, you know, towards the east. Many Christians worship a Babylonish god of their own making and not according to the Word. And this is an abomination that maketh desolate, because they brought that into the house of God. And they got people like that in the house of God. They are an abomination of desolation, which is a departure of God from them. Well, then we see the third six, making 666. The beast who is being raised up to destroy the apostates from among God's people. 9 and 2. And behold, six men, 666 equals the beast, right? six men came from the way of the upper gate, which lieth towards the north, every man with his slaughter weapons in his hand, and one man in the midst of them, clothed in linen, with a writer's inkhorn by his side. So God then sends the man in linen, symbolizing Christ, with the inkhorn to mark his own. In other words, a mark of God. 9:4. And the Lord said unto him, Go through the midst of the city, through the midst of Jerusalem, and set a mark on the foreheads of the men that sigh and cry. This is the mark of the Lord. He is sending the mark of the Lord to mark the foreheads of the men that sigh and cry over all the abominations that are done in the midst thereof. The mark of God on their foreheads identifies those that have the mind of the Spirit, the mind of Christ, who sigh and cry over the abominations of worshiping a false Jesus and his Father. Do you understand that? Then God sends six men, symbolizing the beast, to destroy all who have the mark of the beast in the sanctuary, which are those who do not have the mark of God. Ezekiel 9:5. And to the others he said in my hearing, Go ye through the city after him and smite. So here's the beast going through the city to smite. Let not your eyes spare, neither have ye pity. Slay utterly the old man, the young man, the virgin, and the little children and women, but come not near any man upon whom is the mark of God. This is the mark of God. And begin at my sanctuary. So the beast cannot take over the mark, those that have the mark of God. He can take over those who walk in the flesh, as we will see. The third six, the six men, are sent by God to desolate the harlot, who in effect is the abomination that maketh desolate. What is the abomination? Worshipping the false Jesus in the sanctuary. Revelation 17:16 says, And the ten horns which thou sawest, and the beast, these shall hate the harlot, and shall make her desolate and naked, and shall eat her flesh, and shall burn her utterly with fire, for God did put into their hearts to do his mind. Now let me say, that's happening today, by the way. And there is a mind of the flesh and a works of the flesh today, by the way. There are Antifa and anarchists and Black Lives Matter people out there burning churches. Well, it's happening today. The mark of the beast is alive and well on planet Earth. We are talking about the spiritual mark of the beast. That is the nature of the person for which the natural mark will be put upon. God is going to make sure they're marked so that people can see them, so that they know that these people do not belong in your sanctuary. Note that there is a portion of the sanctuary of God that will be made desolate. We're looking at it. We're reading it. Because of their abominations. Abominations are mentioned 16 times from chapters 5 through 9 of Ezekiel. Desolation is mentioned 6 times in chapters 5, 6, and 7. God promises to desolate his people, meaning make them void of God, who take the mark by committing abominations of idolatry in his house. And as a type, in Jesus' day, the apostates, who had their own ideas about God, were offended by the word and walked no more with him, quote unquote. John 6:6:6. Notice. They were offended at Jesus' belief in God, and they just couldn't handle it. They went and found an ear-tickling preacher somewhere. Notice the address is 666. The righteous will be persecuted by men who see nothing wrong with worshiping a convenient Jesus of their own making. And they can't sigh and cry because they don't have the mark of God, the Word, in their mind and in their works. Some people work furiously for their religion, but they don't realize that's not Christianity. Why are you working to build a kingdom that is not your Father's? Read the Bible. Get familiar with the Word of God. That's Jesus Christ, and that's His Father. Remember that Revelation is a parable, and we must look for the hidden meaning. The interpretation must come from the Bible itself and not man's wisdom. Men who only know the letter cannot interpret the book of Revelation. It is written in the Spirit. It's a parable. You can't go to Bible school and learn that. It has to come to you by revelation of God. The mark of the beast creates the image of the beast, as we will see. The Greek word for mark, as in mark of the beast, in Revelation 13:16-17, is karagma. Karagma. And this means the act of being stamped or impressed or engraved by a character, like the English word character, right? And a character, of course, is a tool for recreating its own image, like a typewriter key or notary's stamp are good examples of this. You know, Jesus, the Word, came as the mark, the character or the stamp of God for reproducing Himself. That's why Jesus came. Hebrews 1 and 3, who being the effulgence of His glory and the very image, there it is, character of His substance. So Jesus came to recreate Himself in us by His words, you see. And if you don't listen to Jesus' word, but you listen to the preacher, you'll split hell wide open, you see. The word is a tool sent by God to create His image in us. The typewriter character reproduces an image on paper called an icon. The word reproduces an image in us called an icon in Greek. It's a E-I-K-O-N in Greek. This is the Word in Revelation 13 and 15 for the image of the beast. You see now that the mark of the beast creates the image of the beast, and the mark of God creates the image of God. 2 Corinthians 3 and 18. But we all with an unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are transformed into the same image, icon, E-I-K-O-N, from glory to glory, even as from the Lord the Spirit. You see, if your mind is not veiled by dead religion, or, like the Jews, the letter of the law, you can see this. To see the true Jesus of the Word in the mirror by faith will transform us into His image. Paul said in Galatians 2 and 20, I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I that live, but Christ liveth in me. The revelation of this crucifixion, which is denying self so that Christ can live through us, brings this manifestation of Christ in us. If you don't think you have to live the crucified life, you'll never come into his image, because Jesus said if you don't lose your life, you won't gain your life. He was talking to his disciples. His disciples. Which is even better than calling people Christians, because a disciple is a learner and a follower. Christians don't necessarily do that. Anyway, anyone who sees only his natural face in the mirror will be a hearer and not a doer of the word, according to James 1 and 23. Since they are not walking by faith, they receive no power to obey. When we read or hear preached the promises of the word and receive them by faith, they recreate the image or icon of God in us. Colossians 3 and 9 says, seeing, and of course this seeing is seeing things by faith. You have to see what God shows you. You see by faith, okay? Seeing that you have put off the old man. Are you seeing this by faith? That when you were baptized, the old man died. You don't have to believe in him anymore. You don't have to trust in him anymore. You don't have to do your works by him anymore. He is dead. Reckon yourself to be dead unto sin and alive unto God, Romans 6 says. Yes. So, seeing that you have put off the old man, that's the Antichrist beast, because we have borne the image of the earthly, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. So everybody's born into the Antichrist beast situation. It's just that it's curable with repentance. Seeing that you have put off the old man, the Antichrist beast, with his doings, his works. Some people say, well, you can't get away from the works. You're just going to do the works the rest of your life. Just get forgiven. No, these are Antichrist preachers. Okay. Verse 10, and have put on the new man, that's Christ, Christ in you, the hope of glory, right? Put on the new man that is being renewed, that's recreated, unto the knowledge. There it is, okay? The renewed mind of the word, right? Unto the knowledge, after the image, the icon. That's what that is translated. It's from the Greek word icon. Of him that created him. Oh, praise God. God wants to bring us into the image of Christ and out of the image of the beast, which is lost man. Clearly, the scripture is showing us that when true ministers share the word, which is the mark, with believers, they are given a perception of Christ to aspire after, and their faith brings them into that image, which is the icon. Got it? Okay. The word, the truth, is the mark. The icon is the image it recreates in us, the image of Christ in us. The true word, the mark, brings the true image, the icon, of Christ. The traditions of men created the Pharisees, the Sadducees, and many very religious people in our day, but not the image of Christ. They are sons of the devil, according to Jesus. If a false prophet preaching a false word or mark exchanges the image of God for the image of corruptible man, you recognize the wording there, which is the beast, you'll end up with a people who are the image of the Antichrist beast. Again, anti means against or in the place of. Okay. Romans 1 and 22. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. Okay, now look out there. Do you see any fools? Absolutely. And what are they? Beasts. And are they in the church? Of course. There's a faction in the church and there's a faction in the world. Both of them are side by side right now. And that's because the faction in the beast actually belong to the faction in the world, and they're attacking inside the church. They're the most dangerous. But the problem is they still have the mind of the flesh and the works of the flesh, which identify them with the beast. Romans 1:22, professing themselves to be wise, because they are wiser than God's word. They know much more than God's word. They can ignore God's word when you show them God's word, because they've got no conscience. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the incorruptible God for the likeness of an image of corruptible man. And 25 says, they exchanged the truth of God, which is the word, for a lie, and worshipped and served the creature, the image of the beast, rather than the creator, the image of God, as the true word through the true prophet creates the image of God in the receiver, so the false word through the false corporate prophets creates the image of the beast in those that receive it. Have you seen a lot of beastly people that go to church? I have. They don't walk after the Spirit. They don't love God. They don't keep His commandments. They have a church that basically puts away all commandments. You don't have to worry about them anymore. You know, just accept Jesus. Filling churches up with people that are marked with the beast, right? And Revelation 13 and 14 is a pretty good example of this. Christ is the Word which came down out of heaven. John 6, 32 and 33 and down in 51. Christ is the Word which came down out of heaven, and the beast is the word from the bottomless pit. Revelation 11 and 7. Both impart their life. Christ is in the image of God, and the beast is in the image of the world or the devil. John 8, 23 and 44. We can see the same principle in other ways. Matthew 13 and 37 says, he that soweth the good seed, and the Greek word is sperma in many cases in Matthew 13, is the Son of Man. He that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man, the sperma of Jesus. Jesus sowed the sperm of the word into the humble hearts. Notice in Matthew 13, he's sowing this word in the hearts, right? Into the humble hearts, which brought forth his fruit. In other words, Christ in you, the hope of glory. The original Christ, the real Christ, not a modern day Christ. We see in Genesis 1 that each seed brings forth after its own kind. Since the true word is the sperm of God, it can only recreate God's image in us. Only the true word can do this. Now Jesus said, the words that I have spoken unto you are spirit and are life. All right, that's John 6:63. Wow, his words are spirit and they are life. Not man's words, not man's interpretation of God's word. God's word. So we must be very careful. We must seek out our own salvation with fear and trembling. All words have power of spirit and life. Did you know that? All words. The question is, whose spirit and whose life? Words have the power to pass on the nature of the person who speaks them. Take, for example, the cults out there. You notice how the nutty people say the same thing as that particular cult, and they got the same spirit. They have passed it on, you see. 2 Corinthians 11:4 says, "For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus," because it is common, "whom we did not preach," that means who the original writers did not preach, "or if you receive a different spirit, which you did not receive," that's right, other than the Holy Spirit, "or a different gospel which you did not accept," like accept Jesus as your personal Savior. Not even a word of that is in the Bible. "You do well to bear with him." Yeah. "Each seed brings forth after its own kind. The words of even a cultist bring forth his spirit and life in those who listen to him. The words of the dead Christian religions bring forth only the same image in the poor listener. They think that's Christianity. But the Bible says, if they have a form of godliness and they deny the power thereof, from such turn away. You're commanded to leave them. Go find something that looks like what you read in the scriptures, because nothing has passed away. Nothing. They cannot bring forth Christ. What is manifested by God's true word looks and sounds like him. John 14:12, 7:38-39. True Christians are the image of Christ, and the rest are the image of the Antichrist beast. It's just that way. There's either one or the other. You're either for me or against me, Jesus said. Matthew 12:30. "He that is not with me is against me." Remember that. There's only two men. You can see this very clearly in that text. There's only two men. We've all borne the image of the beast. And it is only by the word of God that we take on Christ's image. 1 Corinthians 15:46. "Howbeit, that is not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural, then that which is spiritual. The first man is of the earth, earthy." You know, Adam was a natural man. He was of the earth, earthy. We've all borne that part. We all were born into this earth as humans, okay? He's of the earth, earthy. The second man, the born-again man, is of heaven. "As is the earthy, such are they also that are earthy. And as is the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly." And as we have borne the image of the earthy, notice the beast. As we have borne the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly, which is Christ. We are coming into that same image, that image of Christ, from glory to glory, he said. "As we behold in the mirror the glory of the Lord." What you're saying is, I don't live anymore. Christ lives in me. I'm looking in the mirror and I see him. Of course, this is an imagination. It's a renewed imagination. It's a faith imagination. Because you died and you don't live anymore. Christ lives in you. That's what the word says. And you have to believe that to see it. You have to speak it before you can see it. "Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God." He's saying the natural man can't come up. Flesh and blood's not going into the kingdom. "Neither doth corruption inherit incorruption." Something has to change. Born again is not just accepting Jesus as your personal Savior. Born again is coming, is putting on the image of the heavenly. The natural man is of the earth, and it is his nature to please the physical and to be pleased by the physical. He's therefore subject to the beast nature, and not God. 1 Corinthians 2:14 says, "Now the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. He cannot know them," because they are spiritually judged. This is why every man that is born must die to self in order to be Christ-like or Christian. We are here to die. We came here to die, just like our Lord. As with the first body of Christ, so with the second body of Christ. If you don't take up your cross and follow me, Jesus said, you cannot be my disciple. That's very clear. There's no unconditional eternal security there. There's definitely a condition there. The false teachers and false prophets bring the unsteadfast saints back into this corruption of the image of the earthy. You know, they get a born-again spirit, but then they get dragged off by some bunch of false people like this or a dead religion, and they sit there for 40 years and never come into the image of Jesus Christ and never even know that's there's an opportunity to do this. 2 Peter 2 and 1, just what I said. But there arose false prophets also among the people, as among you also there shall be false teachers. This is the test. Everybody's going to be tested. Oh, yes, they look good in the natural. They got nice suits, and they talk real good, and they might be good looking, and all. But that has nothing to do with it. You have to get past that. You have to love the truth. So he said, also among you there shall be false teachers who shall privily bring in destructive heresies, denying even the master that bought them, bringing upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their lascivious doings. Here's the many right here. Lasciviousness means just a license to do what you want to do. Many shall follow their lascivious doings, by reason of whom the way of the truth shall be evil spoken of. You see, they brought a bad name on Christianity. Forsaking the right way, they went astray, having followed the way of Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved the hire of wrongdoing. He wanted to be bought off. He had the aspect of wanting gain. But godliness is not a way of gain. For uttering great swelling words of vanity, they entice in the lusts of the flesh by lasciviousness those who are just escaping from them that live in error, promising them liberty while they themselves are bondservants of corruption. For of whom a man is overcome, of the same is he also brought into bondage. For if after they have escaped the defilements of the world, notice, nobody, this can't be talking about anybody but Christians. If after they have escaped the defilements of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome, the last state is become worse with them than the first. Oh my goodness, what happened to the eternal security? Unconditional eternal security. For it were better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after knowing it to turn back from the holy commandment delivered unto them. Many people come and get a born-again experience in their spirit, but it doesn't carry through to their soul, which is their mind, will, and emotions. And they're drugged right back into the world, and they do not bear fruit, as Jesus in the parable of the sower plainly said. Only one out of four that received the word bore fruit. And this is why. So, through their traditions of men and false doctrines, they lead the apostates to walk after the mind of the flesh and the world system of the beast. They are become the image of the beast. If we allow the false prophets, and there are many, many, to identify the mark and image of the beast for us. We will not recognize these when they come. And people do not recognize them at this time. This is probably one of the most important messages at this time for people to understand. Like the Pharisees, they're blinded by the letter of the word, when spirit is what is really meant. And Paul said, the letter killeth, but the spirit giveth life. You know, Jesus took his disciples aside and he explained to them the parables. He didn't do that with the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the people who worshiped them. He didn't do that. And so the disciples, of course, wanted their old previous leaders to understand these things. But I got to tell you, most of them will not, as worked out in Jesus' day and the disciples' day. The Pharisees and Sadducees turned their own way, went their own way. Their pride had built them up so much in their religious theology that they could not hear Jesus or see Jesus. And the Pharisees and Sadducees could not identify the true image of God, Jesus Christ, nor the image of his body after him. Neither can their modern day seed. These false prophets have told us that the false prophet will give breath to some statue out there causing it to speak. How stupid. The truth is hidden from them, and it's much more plausible. Revelation 13 and 15 says in the Greek, and it was given unto him, some translations say, the actual Greek word is her. Why did they put him? Oh, because it couldn't have been. Because it's their idea of Antichrist. But her is used in parables for a body of people. Okay. So it actually said, and it was given her, which is the body of the false prophet. It's a large body of people. To give breath, which is the same word, the Greek word for spirit. To give spirit to it, even to the image of the beast. So, who gives the spirit to the image of the beast that we now realize are people, not a statue? Who gives them that spirit? That spirit comes straight out of the mouth of the corporate false prophet out there. That the image of the beast should speak. That's in the KJV. Speak. The false prophet gives the spirit of the beast to the body in his image and causes them to speak as the beast. Jesus gives spirit, life, and speech to his image by renewing of his word. John 6:63, the words that I've spoken unto you are spirit and life. And remember, just a few verses down, John 6:6:6, they walked away from Jesus because it was too foreign to them. They couldn't understand the spirit of the word. They had been totally taken over by the Pharisees' doctrine. And so it is today. A disciple speaks his teacher's words, or he doesn't have his life. Isaiah 8:20 and 1 Peter 4:11. Jesus said, everyone, therefore, who shall confess, that's the Greek word for homologeo, to speak the same as. So Jesus said, everyone, therefore, who shall speak the same as me before men, him will I also confess or speak the same before my Father who is in heaven. Isn't that neat? We get the favor of God. That's Matthew 10 and 32. We get the favor of God when we say what he says. With the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Confession means to speak the same as. If God said it, you say it. You'll have it. If men say it, you can say it. And you might have that too, but it won't be godly. Another way we receive the Spirit from the Word, who is Jesus, is because it is he that baptizeth in the Holy Spirit, John 1 and 33. Why does the Lord want you to be filled with the Holy Spirit? So you have a spiritual discernment. You know, they asked in Acts 19 and 2, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? Meaning, of course, that they believed, but they didn't receive the Holy Spirit. Let's see also Acts 19, 6 through 7. You know, the false prophets in the same way pass on their spirit, life, and speech to their image. Since those who receive the mark become the image, we can see how the image can cause that as many as should not worship the image of the beast should be killed. Revelation 13 and 15. Those born of the flesh have always persecuted those born of the Spirit. That's Galatians 4 and 29. The church is in the image of Christ, as the harlot is in the image of Antichrist, and is guilty of the blood of the saints. Revelation 18 and 24. The harlot is a fake Christianity, and even the beast hates her. They have no respect for her whatsoever. Dead religion does not impress people. When they see Jesus doing signs and wonders and miracles, healing, delivering, you know, casting out devils, and they see the fruit of that, it impresses the world. But they haven't seen the witness of Christ, and so they're not impressed with Christianity because of this great falling away that we were told would happen. Only way back? Read the Bible. Pray to God. Repent as you do, because God will not give the truth to a wicked person. Accept the initial truth of the gospel, which can turn them into a good person. But a person who continues on in their sins, they won't know the truth. They'll love the doctrine of these churches. Oh, I can go to church and still go to heaven. I mean, I can just, once saved, always saved, right? Remember, 10 out of the 12 tribes and their ministers worshipped the image of the beast, the golden calf. You remember that? The things that have been are the things that shall be. Things that have been done are the things that shall be done. I'll say that again. 10 out of the 12 tribes and their ministers worshipped the image of the beast. In other words, they had his mark on their foreheads, their mind, and hands, their works. Daniel 3 and 4, then the herald. Now, what's very interesting about this is it's from the Greek word for preacher. Cried peoples, nations, and languages. So this herald cried to the peoples, nations, and languages, fall down and worship the golden image. The herald, the preacher said that? Uh-huh. Fall down and worship the golden image of the beast. Herald here is the only Greek word in that text, and it's used in the New Testament for preacher. Oh, no. Yes, it is. There are preachers sending people to hell by giving them a false Christianity. And they're even having them worship and pledge allegiance to a flag of a overwhelmingly unregenerate nation. Why would you pledge allegiance to the flag of an unregenerate nation? Yes, they want you to do that. They haven't got any common spiritual sense. The command to worship the image, Revelation 13, 4 and 15, 14 through 15, will come from the pulpits in strong delusion for the apostates. If the truth weren't hidden in the parable of Revelation, there would be no strong delusion. In Daniel 3 and 7, all except Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego worship the image. These three wouldn't bow because they wouldn't be defiled with Babylon's food, which is their word, right? Spiritually, their word. And their wine. They wouldn't be defiled by their wine, meaning their nature. And we eat the body and blood of Christ. The blood represents the wine represents the blood, which is the nature. The life of the flesh is in the blood, right? The nature. In Daniel 1, 5 through 16, if you receive the word and nature of a Babylonish false prophet, you too will be defiled and bow down. Matthew 15, 6 through 20. The apostate ministers use the word to cause their people to walk after the mind of the flesh. They give them the spiritual mark of the beast without them even knowing it. In Mark Ward's dream, which he gave to me many years ago and he did not understand it, it was of the One World Church. He went to visit the One World Church. And in that dream, the preachers were causing many to take the mark through the word that they preached. Here's a portion of that dream. He said, "Then I went to see this One World Church. I couldn't even see the other end of it. It was so big. I happened to look in the wrong door and noticed a giant ministers' conference. They were being shown a film on how to scan a beam of light, which is normally the word, across the foreheads of their congregation, giving them the mark of the beast without them knowing it." Do you understand that? Without them knowing it. Those who do not receive the mark of the Lord in the renewed mind of the Scriptures will instead be deceived by their ear-tickling false prophets. It's just the way it is, saints. We need to have eyes to see and ears to hear. We need to repent. We need to turn to God with all of our hearts. 2 Thessalonians 2 and 9 says, "Even he whose coming is according to the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders." Well, I've gone to, the false revival movement. I saw lying wonders. They were manifestations of a spirit, all right, but it wasn't the Spirit of God. They weren't casting out demons. They weren't healing the sick. I saw them laying hands on people, and they were receiving demons from them. I saw this when I went there. And it was a strong delusion. And that might be an extreme example. The lesser example, of course, is these dead churches that don't believe in the power of God anymore. It all passed away with the apostles, even though they can't show you a verse that says that. You know, there's signs and wonders and healings and deliverances and miracles cause people to come to know Christ, enable people to live long enough that they can know Christ, etc. They're all the power of signs and lying wonders. And with all deceit of unrighteousness for them that perish because they received not the love of the truth that they might be saved. And for this cause God sendeth them a working of error that they should believe a lie, that they all might be judged who believed not the truth but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Bear with me. I'm going to go back and I'm going to share this dream again. He said, then I went to see this one world church. I couldn't even see the other end of it. It was so large. I happened to look in the wrong door and noticed a giant ministers' conference. And they were being shown a film on how to scan a beam of light. And of course, light is represented represents the word in the scriptures, across the forehead of their congregation, giving them the mark of the beast without them knowing it. Now, which mark of the beast could you receive without knowing it? The one we're talking about, the spiritual mark of the beast, which is the foundation for the physical mark of the beast. That's what we're talking about. Without them knowing it. You can go to church and get the mark of the beast without knowing it. You respect, you know, a man to tell you the truth, which is a foolish thing to do. But that's what happens. If you don't love the truth, if you love the truth, you're going to go home and check it out in the Bible, right? And you're going to see from the Bible that, wait a minute, this don't line up. Well, they never thought it had to line up because they also worshiped people, men, denominations, doctrines that were not Christ-like. So they're just passing on the mark of the beast. And they're passing it on to people that don't know they're receiving it. And it's everywhere. And of course, when these people die, everybody puts them always in heaven. And would that it was so. But you see, heaven wouldn't be heaven if people who had the mind of the flesh and the works of the flesh, which is the mind of the beast and the works of the beast, were in heaven. It wouldn't be heaven. God's protecting his heaven. Have you ever heard from preachers who died and went to the gates of heaven and found out that they couldn't enter in? Because they weren't Christian. They were dumbfounded. So be careful, because a lot of people believe they're saved. They were told to believe that they were saved when some experience happened to them, or when they accepted Jesus as their personal Savior, or when they shook the preacher's hand, like that would give you an anointing of some kind. Not from their preachers. Before the coming of the Lord, God is sending this delusion to cleanse his church of those who do not love the truth. The denominations, friends, remember what Jesus said, Father, I pray that they may be one as we are one. And then men as wolves enter in to divide the flock after themselves. I mean, obviously the preacher's got to make a living, and if he don't have any tithers out there, he can't make a living, right? So they got to deceive people into their doctrine. But they don't have a spiritual and personal revelation of Christ. So what can they share? They can't give away what they don't have. Be careful, saints. Be careful. Study the Word. And you know something else? When you have the Holy Spirit can witness to you when you are hearing the truth. He will witness to you. As a matter of fact, let me say this. Here's one thing you should do. Pray, Lord, I want the truth. And nothing but the truth. Please protect me from error. I want the truth. I prayed that so much when I was a young Christian in the first year of my Christian life. I prayed that. I didn't even know why I was praying it, because I thought, you know, that the church I started going to had the truth. But you know what happened? I got delivered. I realized they were just camped out going around in a circle, and they weren't making any progress as far as putting on the fruit of Christ. And that was even a church that believed in being filled with the Spirit. But they didn't believe in following the Spirit. Wow. Ask the Lord. I had a lot of people tell me that when they went into the false revival movement, they asked the Lord, Lord, I don't want anything that's not of you. I don't want, if it's not of you, I don't want it to happen to me. I'm, you know, they were being careful because they were seeing goofiness. And when the people laid hands on them, nothing happened to them. Other people, when they got hands laid on them, received that Kundalini spirit, received that Jezebel spirit. And then they were worthless to the kingdom of God or bringing anybody else into the kingdom of God. They went around laying hands on other people, imparting the Kundalini spirit. Be careful. There's a lot of deception out there. Your only hope is to love the truth. It says, and with all deceit of unrighteousness for them that perish because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. So when I was a baby Christian, I said, Lord, I want the truth. Tell me the truth. I want the best Bible you got. Lead me to that. And he did. I want the truth. Because the preacher, of course, was getting up there correcting his Bible. I said, Lord, you can give me a Bible that has the truth in it. And he showed me how to do that. Pray. Pray about everything. Pray and ask God, Lord, I don't want to be deceived. Lead me to the truth. I can't tell you how many people have come to us saying, I prayed and asked God to lead me to the truth. And the next thing you know, I'm coming to you. And that's because I've studied the truth and I don't trust men. I mean, throughout history, the overwhelming majority of God's people were wrong. That's the first thing I saw when I started reading. They were all wrong. And the things that have been are the things that shall be. And the things that have been done are the things that shall be done. There's no new thing under the sun. The thing that happened in Jesus' day with the overwhelming majority of the religion that they thought was God's religion. And yet they turned against Jesus, crucified him, even after he went out and healed the sick, cast out devils, did all these wonderful things. And he asked them, well, what sin is it that you're doing this for? You know, he only did good. He that returneth evil for good, evil will not depart from him, according to the word of God. And they returned evil for good. And they still do it today. I've seen people so rejoicing and so happy to receive something that they knew was the truth, only to come to a place where they didn't want to give up their sins, and they continued willfully in sin and were removed from our premises by God Almighty, who sent them a working of error that they should believe a lie. And look at those people out there in the natural. There's people like that out there in the natural, too. They're like the parable, you know. They're crazy. They're running around acting like they believe in democracy when they don't. They want to force you into their communist theology. And they're crazy as they can be. And they have the stupid spirits, as we've spoken about before. He sent them a delusion. So what's happening out there in the natural is happening in the spiritual. That's like all the parables of Jesus. Jesus gave natural reasons and examples of what is going on in the spirit. There's a parable, then there's the interpretation of the parable. Let me say, the Old Testament is a parable. The New Testament is the interpretation of the parable. We have a new covenant for the spirit people of God. The old covenant was for the letter people of God. They were Jews in the letter and in the flesh. We're only Jews in the spirit and in faith. So, God is sending this delusion to cleanse his church of those who do not love the truth. And then, of course, the true church, who didn't buy all of the delusion, will be prepared to meet him. Praise God. And it says very clearly, he shall gather out of his kingdom. He shall gather out of his kingdom. Church. All that cause stumbling. Things wasn't in the original there. All that cause stumbling. And them that do iniquity. What's he been doing? I mean, very strongly, since 2010, what's he been doing? Very, very strongly. Just what he said here. He shall gather out of his kingdom. They are out of the kingdom. They still call themselves Christians, but they're out of the kingdom. All that cause stumbling, that's what they do. They can't even sleep until they've caused somebody to stumble. They only have one ministry, slander the righteous. That's their only ministry. Because the devil is in them, and he wants to destroy the church. He wants to take over the church. He wants to beat up on people until they give in, until he takes over the church. Remember what his job was? He wanted to sit above the congregation of God. Right? He shall gather out of his kingdom all that cause stumbling and them that do iniquity. What did we find out that was? The hand with the mark. The hand of the works of the flesh, the works of the beast. Do you know there are people doing the works of the beast who are building churches? Yeah, but not the church. They're building churches. A church is a deception if it's not the church. It's a deception. It's a placebo. And who did he gather out? Them that do iniquity. Oh my goodness. You mean the Lord really does want to deliver us from our sins? Well, of course. He's gathering out of his kingdom, meaning they were in the kingdom. You have a chance in the kingdom to continue on and to go on with God or to turn back, because you never had a free will as long as you were totally bound in the flesh and a son of the devil. You never had a free will. Never. You only get a free will when you come to Christ, because He gives you the ability to go forward and with God. You never had that before, so you never had a free will. All of your free will was to do which sin you wanted to do. That's the only freedom you had. Which sin can I do? You couldn't do righteousness because Christ didn't live in you. And you didn't choose Him, He chose you. No one comes unto the Son except the Father draws him. So He draws people. And that's the only way they come. And so, out of His kingdom, this is somebody who entered His kingdom. Remember Jesus in the parable of the wedding garment? What are you doing in here? You don't have on a wedding garment. And He was what? Dumbfounded. Duh! I thought I had everything I needed to make it. No. Cast Him forth into outer darkness where there's weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. He had the mark of the beast. He was an abomination that maketh desolate. Somebody who's come in to the temple of God, but continues to walk after the mind of the flesh and the works of the flesh, and is thus rejected by God. He shall gather out of His kingdom all that cause stumbling and them that do iniquity, and shall cast them into the furnace of fire. There shall be the weeping and the gnashing of teeth. And then, when these people are taken out of the temple of God, they're discovered to be who they are. They fall away like Judas. They didn't know who Judas was. They said, "Is it I, Lord? Is it I? Is it I?" You know, well, time proved who wasn't supposed to be there. Didn't I choose you 12? And one of you is a devil. And he was a traitor to Christ and to the people of God. And he stole from the people of God. I know people like this. And it's amazing to me. And I don't rejoice in it. I love to see everybody saved that can possibly be saved. And I try to make sure if they get lost, it's not my fault. I do what I can to everyone who is falling away. But when the grace of God is not there, there is nothing you can do. You're responsible to tell the truth, but God will condemn them because they don't accept it. He that's of God hears the words of God. You hear what I say? He that's of God hears the words of God. And, of course, they proved themselves not to be children of God because they did not hear. They didn't continue on in the crucified life to have the Savior manifested in them. The mark makes the image. The truth brings the image of Christ. We all with an unveiled face behold as in a mirror the glory of the Lord. See, when you're unveiled, and you understand, you perceive the truth. You understand that this is a gift from God. That you just accept this free gift. When you look in the mirror, you see Jesus. You confess that you don't live. He lives in you. And in this way, you come into His image from glory to glory, as from the Lord of Spirit. But you've got to have your eyes opened to see the truth. And the truth is totally the opposite of what the world believes. So he says now that then shall the righteous shine forth in the sun, as the sun, In other words, manifesting the sun, right? Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. When do they shine forth? When all the spots and blemishes are removed. And Jude makes it plain that these are people. And Peter too. These are people. Spots and blemishes. This is sin in the body. Remember, he removed them that do iniquity. It's sin in the body. Willful sin. And they're taught that they can willfully sin. Because unconditional eternal security, of course. There are many forms of that, by the way. It's not just one church that teaches that. There's many churches that teach that. So, when the wicked are removed, the body is sanctified. How awesome. It's very painful for the body to be sanctified. People that you thought were your friends, you know, from what you could see on the surface. But you know, God never leaves us in ignorance. We have received powerful dreams from God about who's going to stay with us and who's going to fall away. And I can say that they were the truth. We can see that it has happened. There's nobody that fell away and fell into the faction, for instance, that we didn't first know that they were going to do it. And Jesus said the same thing. He knew. Didn't I choose you 12? And one of you is a devil. He knew it. He knew it. He didn't treat him any differently. He treated him with grace. He wanted to make sure he had the same opportunity as the rest. Jesus taught him. Showed him how to cast out devils. Showed him how to heal the sick. Showed him how to preach the gospel. But he still didn't stick around. Because God removed all things that cause stumbling and them that do iniquity. And he's still doing it today. But when this happens, the body is getting purified for the coming of the Lord. You know, if there was an all flyaway rapture at this particular time, heaven would be defiled. There has to come the separation first. The separation sanctifies a people to enter into heaven. And Matthew 13:41 through 43 says, first, he will sever the wicked from among the righteous. And that's what he's doing. In the natural, it's happening out there. So you can see the parable, right? In the natural, he is separating crazy people. Some of them your next door neighbors. That are totally against the Constitution, which is their law, like our law. We got a law. It's a word, right? Totally against the Constitution. Their spirit is in agreement with the spirits of the deep state that rules over them. So, Matthew 13:41 through 43. First, he will sever the wicked from among the righteous. And Matthew 13:49, then he will come for his saints, which means sanctified ones. You see, you have to be sanctified as an individual, and the body is being sanctified as a body. because we are both a corporate entity and an individual entity, as everything that I've already said to you. So he will come for his saints and destroy the wicked, 2 Thessalonians 2 and 8. The mark of the beast will cut the cancer out of the body, as they call it nowadays, drain the swamp. God's drained his swamp, and he's draining the swamp in the world for a temporary season. Because he's through at one stage of his work. The first stage of his work is called the first fruits. The first stage of his work is to use the wicked to crucify the first fruits. The first fruits would be the man child and the bride, right? So God is in the business right now of sanctifying them. He has a wicked group of people that are against them, that crucify them, that lie about them, that slander them, etc., etc., that try to kill them by sending witchcraft prayers against them, all things that we know it can prove. So, God is sanctifying his body, getting them ready for the coming of the Lord. Who else does that job? John the Baptist. He was to prepare the way for the coming of the Lord. And how did he do that? He preached one basic thing, repentance, which means change your mind, believe the truth, right? He preached repentance. This is the only way that the Lord can come. It's the only way he initially comes in your life, by giving you a new spirit. It's the only way he will come into your soul, your mind, your will, and your emotions. Because a born-again soul is necessary too, according to what God told Peter. That's where you bear fruit. You weren't responsible, by the way, for him coming into your spirit. He was responsible for that. No one comes unto the Son except the Father draws him. He reached down and gave you a new spirit and gave you the possibility of becoming a Christian. And those that have the born-again spirit have the ability to continue on with Christ or go back. They can go back. And some of them decide that this is far enough. I'm not going to repent anymore. You're getting into my business now. I claim the right to keep this or that or the other. And, of course, God turns them loose. He says, okay, I'll take your crown and give it to so-and-so. Let's see what they do with it. Let no man take thy crown. You don't appreciate it, I'll give it to somebody else. He does that. It's been an amazing thing for me to watch over the years about somebody going out and somebody coming in when they go out, and there's something the same about these people. It's like, oh God, you are replacing them. Something, you know, that makes you understand that this is a replacement. I've seen this happen many times. But the mark of the beast will cut the cancer out of the body, as it did in Jesus' day. And the first 666 in the Bible proves this. John 666, upon this many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. They were walking with him. But he came to a place in his teaching that they realized they were going to have to lose their life in order to accept it. And, you know, there are people that are not going to walk the crucified life. Except you lose your life, you won't gain your life, Jesus said. It's not unconditional. The children are not the sons. A son is somebody who's coming into the image of Jesus Christ. Servants are children, the Bible says. Sons are those bearing fruit and coming into the image of Christ. The child abideth not, the servant abideth not in the house forever. The son abideth forever. So you see, there are sons of God through faith. They walk by faith. They know that they're supposed to walk in the steps of Jesus Christ. Others think, why do you have these verses about walking in the steps of Jesus? We don't want to walk in the steps of Jesus. We want to walk in our own steps. We want to do our own thing. There's a great falling away. A great falling away. And the Bible says that the Lord wouldn't come until the falling away come first. And the man of sin be revealed. Well, now we're seeing it. We know that the man of sin, the son of perdition, Judas Iscariot, was a type and a shadow of all who are like him today, who fall away because of the lusts of their flesh, and they don't want to give them up. Except it's bigger than one man. In Jesus' parable of the sower, it was 3 out of every 4 people who received the word that fell away. And this is why I'm telling you, this is the very nature of falling away here, what we're discovering here. That people who have the mark of the beast cannot serve God, and they won't serve God. And if they don't have a renewed mind, if they don't receive a renewed mind of the word, they will fall away. They might still sit on a pew, but they're still falling away. Flesh and blood will not inherit the kingdom of God. And these people cannot obey. So they gather around people that also believe that they don't have to obey to go to heaven. And they gather preachers who also believe that they don't have to obey to go to heaven. He said, people will say, David, you're teaching works. By grace have you been saved through faith. That's not of yourselves, not of works, meaning your works, lest any man should boast. For in Christ Jesus were we created for good works. Faith without works is dead. If you read the book of James, you will find that out. I will show you my faith by my works. You can't prove you have faith without works. You can't prove you have faith without manifestations of that faith. There are many in the church who have just accepted Jesus as their personal Savior. Again, that is not in the Scriptures. Can't find it. They never quote a verse for that. But it does say, repent and believe. If you repent, you change your mind from the mind of the beast to the mind of Christ, you will be saved. You will not fail. You will not fall away. And it is by faith. You receive everything from God by faith. Everything. So I'm not teaching works. I'm teaching the works of God. I'm teaching the same works that James taught. Faith without works is dead. That's what repent means. Change your mind. No longer the mind of the flesh, which will kill you. You now receive the mind of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, and you're not going to let anybody talk you out of it. You're not going to let anybody try to explain it to you. You want the Holy Spirit. You have no need that any man should teach you, by the way. You don't want man to teach you. You want the Spirit of God to teach you. Whether he teaches you through men or not, that's up to him. But you can go home and read your Bible, and the Spirit of God will teach you. You don't need a man to teach you. Man's teachings are man's religions. You need God's teachings. Turn your heart towards the Lord in everything. Repent now in this season, because there is still happening a great falling away. And as I pointed out to you before, when you look out there in the world and you see these crazy people, have you ever seen people like that before? Why is this suddenly happening? Totally crazy people. You can't explain anything to them. They haven't got enough brains left to even understand simple things. What is happening? It is the reprobation that we've been talking about. Where this leads. And they're multiplying. They are multiplying. Because you see, just like it was in the false revival thing, where they went out and laid hands on so many people, each one of those people receiving it, and they went out and laid hands. It's a geometric progression. These crazy people are imparting those same demons through the same slander that they heard to others. Now, you want to know where we're headed? You want to know how we could possibly be there in just a few short years now? Where you're actually hated of all nations for his name's sake? How can we get there? The seeds have already been sown. They're sown in the faction in the church, and they're sown in the faction in the world. The fake media is the faction in the world. They speak lies after lies after lies. And in the church, the ones that they choose to lead them are sinners. They're obviously outwardly sinners. And so they all sin, because if it's good for the head, it's good for the body, right? We can all sin. So they all fall into sin, any kind of sin. Some of the most immoral people I know and still consider themselves Christians. They came out of some dead religion like that. But now it's worse. It says it will be worse than it was at the beginning. That's what the Lord said. They'll be worse, and they are. So this seed now is going forth to prepare the tribulation to come. You're going to be hated by people. You still have to hold to the Word of God when you're hated by these people. And when they lie about you, and when they steal from you, and so on and so forth. You still have to hold to the Word of God. That's your cross. Your cross is to not depart from the Word of God, even when the wicked are before you. God is calling his people to repent now. Everybody's looking for some guy to show up called John the Baptist or Elijah. But there is a spirit of John the Baptist or Elijah going forth over the world today. It is the spirit of repentance. And it's a making way for the coming of the manifestation of Jesus Christ in his body. Just as John the Baptist in the letter was doing in his day, this spirit of repentance is doing in our day. Many people are preaching it. I'm preaching it to you right now. Repent. Believe the Word of God. Know that there are people around you who you respect who will fall away. They're called the sons of perdition, the man of sin. They will fall away before the body is ready for the coming of the Lord. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. The body will be ready for the coming of the Lord. Why? because God is separating, gathering out of his kingdom all that cause stumbling and those that do iniquity. And they will go into the great and terrible day of the Lord, a year of vengeance, the Bible proclaims it to be, on those that have persecuted his saints, crucified his saints, lied about his saints, did all these evil things against his people. That's the whole reason for the day of the Lord. If you want to know what the true day of the Lord is, you have to find out what the Bible says about it. And if you do, you won't come up with the idea that the tribulation is the day of the Lord. It is not. The tribulation is the 7 days. Which are years in Daniel's prophecy, which is followed by another day called the Day of the Lord, Isaiah 34:8. And this Day of the Lord has one specific purpose, to destroy the wicked who have persecuted God's people. People you may think are Christians today will fall away and be there. It's just the facts. It is written. It can't be broken. They will fall away and they will be there. The way you can be sure that you would ever fall away is to have your mind renewed with the Word of God. To have the mind of Christ instead of Antichrist. The reason people fall away is because of the mind of Antichrist. They have other ambitions that crowd out the truth. They don't have a love for the truth. The truth is what saves. The truth is what causes Christ to be manifested in your life. The truth is how you bear fruit. The truth. The truth. So do what I did when I was young. I didn't have the sense to know why it was happening to me, but I was doing it. I prayed all the time, Lord, I want to know the truth. I want to know the truth. And he just kept leading me and leading me. He led me from one dead church to a slightly more alive church. But then I realized they were camping out and going around in a circle. They weren't going on. As I read the scriptures, because I was reading the scriptures day and night, day and night, day and night. And I realized they weren't going on either, so I departed from them. You never want to quit reading the scriptures. You don't have anything that's more important than reading the scriptures. You do not have anything that's more important than that. Even all this election stuff. Don't let this stuff crowd out your time of putting the Word in your life. The Word in you is Christ in you. He is the Word. And how we bear fruit is that. If you want to lose out on the thing that God has called you to do and to be, just waste your time on a lot of that garbage. It doesn't matter. It's going to end up the same. All you got to do is pray and believe God. You don't have to know all of that stuff about all of what's going on out there in the election. We already know they're a bunch of liars and thieves and that they're going to get caught. We already know that. See, let me give you some time in your life here. You just make up your mind. This is what's going to happen. And what I was saying to you about the seed has been sown. These people that are going out there with these spirits on them, I'm talking about faction, witchcraft, slander, theft, lies, so on and so forth. These people who are going out there and doing that, and some of them who were Christians at one time, they're sowing the seed that is geometrically expanding all over the earth. And we're coming to a time when the world is not going to choose good. There will come a time when they will not choose to obey or to follow the Constitution or somebody like President Trump. It will not be possible for him to be a leader in that time. I believe his tenure is going to be over in the middle of the tribulation period. And then the beast is going to make war on the saints. Everything, just remember this, everything, all of the freedom that's been given to Trump, because his predecessors were preparing the government and its ways to suit them so that they could have all this freedom to do whatever they wanted and they could rule over you with impunity. All of this, they accidentally, on their part, handed over to Trump. Now, who is going to take it from him? Watch out for those people, because there's coming a time when this geometric progression is taking over the world, and it is happening out there. They're not going to be able to take them all down. It's not going to be possible. They are taking over the earth. We have been given this time. Sue Gilbert had a dream about President Trump handing out timepieces to people, clocks, watches, whatever, I don't know. And what we saw was God's using him to give us a little bit of time. Yes. Now, what are we going to do with this time? We need to start building the kingdom of God. The people out there need to see a representation of the kingdom of God and not the dead religion their mom and daddy went through. They don't need to see that. This is not going to convict them. Real Christianity is what we have to have now. It's the only thing that will bring the multitudes in and make them stay in, because they come in and they go out. See, people get saved and they think, oh, it's wonderful, I can go to church now. And they go to church and they sit on a pew and die there. It's not wonderful. That's because there is no representation of true biblical original Christianity. If that abide in you which you heard from the beginning, then you abide in the Son. There is nothing but what you heard from the beginning that is truth. And so everybody wants to convince you out of that, that we can make up our own rules, you know. No, we have to stick with the truth. We have to never, ever depart from the truth. And so there is a great falling away. These people are multiplying. They're going to hate Christians. By the middle of the tribulation period, they're going to be putting them in camps and slyly killing them. So every Christian's going to get a chance to deny Jesus or believe in Jesus and confess Jesus. And the ones who won't confess Jesus but deny Jesus, they'll split hell wide open. But God will purify his church. The mark of the beast and the people that are compelling it are not the devil's idea. They're God's idea. Okay. Is the devil one, you know, doing it? Yes, of course. God uses vessels of honor and vessels of dishonor. It is the devil that's doing it. But it's not the devil's idea. It's God's idea. God is separating the same as what I just read to you. He's gathering out of his kingdom all that cause stumbling and them that do iniquity. And he's going to cast them into the furnace of fire. So you see, this is God's plan to separate, to sanctify a body called the church. They will never deny their Lord because they have his mind. The rest who don't have his mind but just were playing Christianity and church, of course they'll deny him to save their lives. And they'll justify it. They will justify it. Oh, I got to feed my kids. I got to, you know. you're the worst thing that ever happened to your kids if you don't get saved. I see people that were very protective of their children who fell into faction, and then they're screaming at them and slandering around them and, you know, turning them away from Christianity. They're the worst thing. They are the threat to their children instead of everybody else. They are the threat. The worst thing is to be raised up. You want to know why some children die young or even abortion? Because if they were raised up by this bunch of pagans, they'd turn against God. Yeah. I mean, God has his purposes. He has his plan. He has his purposes. And he works everything to bring about a new creation, a church, a called out people. That's what church means, the called out ones. These are the sanctified people. These are the saints, the sanctified ones. But not the people that are just playing religion and want to be justified so they can go home and feel like they've got fire insurance. And, you know, that's not it. Well, Father, you are so awesome. Your wisdom is so great, Lord. We seek after your wisdom. I ask, Lord, that everyone out there come to you and ask that you lead them to truth and that they be devoted to putting nothing but truth in their mind and in their works. And, Lord, that they not have the spiritual mark of the beast so that they don't receive a physical mark of the beast, because they could say all they want, I'll never take the mark of the beast. But when the time comes, if they don't have the mind of Christ, they will take the mark of the beast. And they will justify it. Lord, save your people. Have mercy, Father. Save your people. I ask you in the name of Jesus. Lord, we thank you so much for this little time we had here to study the Word and to get together. And we'll do it again sometime. Thank you so much, Father. We love you. We praise you. Lead us in truth. Lead us in deliverance. Lead us in the mind of Christ, in the works of Christ. Thank you, Father. Amen.